Brothers, sisters, and friends, we are happy to announce to you that for this convention, we have a special visiting speaker. Brother Andre Ramsayer, a member of the branch committee at the Canadian Bethel, is here with us. Friends, would you like to welcome him to our convention? Many parents in our audience have prayed for instruction on how to raise their children. Have you done so? If so, how has Jehovah answered your prayer? We know that all in attendance here today, whether parents or not, will benefit from the final talk on today's program. It is entitled, Teach Your Children to Love God's Kingdom. Brother Ramsayer, we are eager to hear what you have to tell us.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for that very warm welcome. But I also have a message for you. It's a pleasure for me to pass on this message to each and every one of you. The governing body and the entire Bethel family send our heartfelt love and greetings, and we keep you in our prayers. Well, notice we have quite a number of children in the audience and have their parents with them. So this subject here will interest both parents and children. And to young ones, I would say, if you could listen especially, listen carefully, and then you can help your parents to train you. Because that's their assignment, and working together, there'll be a beautiful outcome. Notice the title, Teach Your Children to Love God's Kingdom. We've talked so much about God's kingdom. It really is the solution to mankind's problems and our problems as well. So, how are we going to do that? Well, if we can view our family members as subjects of God's kingdom, that's what we want to be, isn't it? In the Garden of Eden, the Creator, Jehovah, gave humans the responsibility to fill the earth. And Jehovah, in his loving kindness, that kingdom, God's kingdom, provides the environment, the guidance, and the protection needed for the well-being of every family. So we are well equipped to train our children and to remain together as a united family worshiping Jehovah. In fact, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 15 talks about families. When the Apostle Paul said, For this reason I bend my knees to the Father, to whom every family in heaven and on earth owes its name. And then you recall in Acts chapter 11 when the angel told Cornelius to send for the Apostle Peter, and in that verse 14 of Acts 11 he says, And he will tell you things by which you and all your household may get saved. So not just him, but all his household, including his children. And then we remember Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, talking about parents now, especially in this case the husband, says, You husbands, in the same way, continue dwelling with them, talking about their wives, of course, according to knowledge, assign them honor as to a weaker vessel, the feminine one, since they are also heirs with you of the undeserved kind favor of life, in order for your prayers not to be hindered. So it's obvious from our knowledge of the scriptures and how Jehovah arranged matters originally in the Garden of Eden that it was good for a man and woman to live together in an honorable marriage and raise children to fill the earth. So let's just look at some of the responsibilities of marriage. Well, it's quite simple. First of all, love each other from the heart. Love is the perfect bond of union. Paul says, love never fails. For those who haven't tried it, try it. Those who are responding, we can do it more. It never fails. Love from the heart and be loyal. Let's read Micah chapter chapter 6 together, please. You have your Bibles there. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what is Jehovah requiring of you? Only to exercise justice, to cherish loyalty, and to walk in modesty with your God. So husbands and wife have the God-assigned privilege to work together and to promote happiness. And of course, any parent will tell you this requires effort, patience, faith, and love, all aspects of the fruitage of God's Holy Spirit. Now, Proverbs 24, verse 23, makes this interesting comment. By wisdom, a house is built up, and by discernment, it is made secure. So instead of being driven by emotion, learn to apply Bible principles. So we need those principles to be guided by. Psalm 19, let's read that together, please. Psalm 19. Verses 8 to 11. Beautiful psalm here. The orders from Jehovah are righteous. By them your servant has been warned. In keeping them, there is a large reward. Aren't those comforting thoughts and also expressions on how to be successful in raising children? So we need to identify, first of all, the principles that underline the teaching that we give to our children and how they might apply in any given situation. Then, after we identify them, we endeavor to understand them clearly so that we can apply them. So that's where the follow-through comes in. Identify them and understand them and then follow through. Proverbs 4:14-23 says, there is benefit in every kind of hard work, but mere talk leads to want. So we know it's not going to be easy, but it's worth it to have children who love Jehovah, love their parents. They make us proud. When we see little children who love Jehovah, doesn't that touch your heart? And just see Jehovah's love in the faces of these little children. And when they grow up, they bring honor to Jehovah and they make us happy. They're so wholesome. It's a beautiful thing to witness. So you're doing good work. Keep it up. We're not perfect, but we're trying, and the children are cooperating. Those who love Jehovah are happy to have that help. Of course, changes can come in a marriage, especially when you have children. And now you have to broaden your relationship as a married couple to include the younger family members. So that's quite an adjustment too, having children. And as the children grow, parents need to adjust to the changing circumstances and deal with situations in a way that brings glory to God. And we know that as they get older, they change their thinking, and you have to keep up with training them and understanding that they face challenges and things change according to their age as they grow up. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you are eating or drinking or doing anything else, do all things for God's glory. Well, that's good admonition, isn't it? So if calamity strikes, and sometimes it does, it's not always easy, such as a major financial reversal, debilitating disease, or death, this can place unusual burdens on the family, can't it? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11 explains that very nicely. When the wise man said, I've seen something further under the sun, that the swift do not always win the race, Nor do the mighty win the battle, nor do the wise always have the food, nor do the intelligent always have the riches, nor do those with knowledge always have success, because time and unexpected events overtake them all. Time and unexpected events. Things are going smoothly, beautifully right now, and in a short time it can change, as you know. So we need to be aware that these unexpected events can change things tremendously. Through it all, though, we need to keep focused on Jehovah's loving promise to bless his faithful servants by means of his kingdom. And Jehovah's organization is aware of the challenges that married brothers and sisters face. And the faithful and discreet slave is convinced that if we follow the Bible's advice, our marriage can be strengthened and we can find greater joy in serving Jehovah. So thus, it's a delight to release at this convention the new 32-page brochure entitled, Your Family Can Be Happy. Now, this brochure is designed to help you and your family deal with situations and challenges that most face at one time or another. Whether you're just starting out in marriage or you've been married for many years, you will find the advice in this brochure very practical and useful. The brochure is divided into 9 sections, each one discussing an important aspect of building a happy family. Read it from cover to cover or by subject, whichever you may choose. Each section will help you to identify Bible principles that apply to the varied circumstances married couples face. Also, interestingly, the Bible principles are accompanied by practical suggestions under the heading, each page, What Can You Do? And then at the end of each section, searching personal questions are posed in the little box entitled, Ask Yourself. So it's another teaching aid. Finally, the concluding box of each section contains a general summary of the Bible's view of the subject that's been discussed. What a beautiful arrangement and teaching method. So we warmly encourage you to acquire the skill of identifying Bible principles and deciding how you will apply them in your family. So we know you're going to do your best to contribute to the happiness of your family. We talked about the desire to teach our children to love God's kingdom, and then the training comes in, isn't it? We have to train them to love God's kingdom. And if we, it's interesting, if we don't train, for example, we say, train your children from infancy to trust in Jehovah. Why is that so important? Well, basically, if we don't train them, Satan will. Satanic propaganda is all over, and our children are under attack, just as adults are. So we need to train them. We need to help them with their defenses. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, we have these, when the law came into effect, we have these words that Moses said, or through Jehovah's words, really, through Moses, these words that I am commanding you today must be on your heart, and you must inculcate them in your sons, and speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. So it's a full-time job, isn't it? Raising children is a full-time job. Help them to recognize their responsibility beyond the confines of the family. Can we help them make God's kingdom real to them? How can we do that? What are some practical ways of training children? Well, one thing we can do is read to them from the Bible and from our Christian publication, just like the new one we just got, and tell them the story of Bible accounts in a way that brings the characters to life for your children. For example, When you read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 20 to 25, there the account explains how the Israelites were instructed to explain to their children how Jehovah brought 10 plagues on Pharaoh and Egypt when their forefathers were slaves there, and how Jehovah delivered them, bringing them into their promised land. They also emphasized the importance of observing his commandments for their lasting good. That's a good teaching method there, remembering the past. And another psalm is an interesting one, Psalm 78. Let's just read that together, please. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 78, 3 and 4 reads, "The things we have heard and know, which our fathers have related to us, we will not hide from their sons. We will relate to the generation to come the praiseworthy deeds of Jehovah and his strength, the wonderful things he has done." So it's good for us to go over these stories with our young ones. Sometimes their memory is much better than ours, and they can repeat it, just like Caleb, remember our videos with little Caleb there. Caleb is so real to some children that there was a couple visiting Patterson with their little boy, and all he wanted to do was talk to Caleb. "Yeah, Mom, where is Caleb? I want to talk to him." Well, it's quite a thing to explain that Caleb was an animated character in our video. But how real it is. Children have quite an imagination, and they take things very seriously. Another thing we can do is pray with our children and let them hear your prayers. There was an interesting experience a couple had some years ago where the meeting they attended that night was talking about Revelation, about the scrolls of life, and how important it was to have your name written in the scroll of life. So this little brother, very small boy, listening very attentively, when he came home, he was thinking about it. So it was time to go to bed, and the mother wanted to listen to his prayer. And this is what he said. "Jehovah, please put my name in the book of life. Please. My name is Willie. W-I-L-L-I-E. See how real it is to these children. And those promises and the written word of God has such an effect on their little hearts, and it softens them, and it makes them love Jehovah, love their parents, and love their brothers and sisters. So we'll never miss an opportunity to train them. And a good way is to listen to their prayers, because as the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So hear what the little ones are saying coming out of their hearts. And also, let them observe your absolute confidence and trust in Jehovah's kingdom. If you really love God's kingdom, of course, that'll be reflected in the children, how you train them. We had this verse, Matthew 6:33. You're going to hear it more times. We've already had it, 33 and 34, but it's going to be repeated until Sunday a few times. Remember, keep on then seeking first the kingdom, which is the theme of our convention, and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. So besides listening to their prayers, pray with them and pray for them. Let them hear what you want for them so that they can start thinking about what kind of person they should be in harmony with God's word. And also involve them in the learning. Proverbs 28, verse 7 says, "An understanding son observes the law, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. So we pray that they get the understanding that makes them such valuable assets in the congregation and pride to their parents and someone Jehovah can use in the future when they grow up and use them in a wonderful way. Also, it's good to encourage them to ask questions. Sometimes we, or that is the parents, might be the ones asking all the questions, but it's good to encourage them to ask questions so you can see what's in their heart. And then kindly draw out their thoughts when they ask a question. What do you think about that? How do you understand that? Involve them in the conversation, in the questions. And respond appropriately to their reactions. And make learning enjoyable. That's part of the whole process. Make it enjoyable. So they love it. Children basically love to learn about Jehovah. The love Jehovah has displayed, just it moves them. And when they're properly trained, of course, they will demonstrate that love for Jehovah. And teach them, too, to reason on Bible principles, because we don't have a million laws written down. There's no law in our kingdom hall that says you must not throw garbage in the aisle. But principle is we keep a kingdom hall clean and we keep everything orderly, so we don't need all those laws. Love would prevent us from doing anything that would distract from the beauty of our kingdom hall. And Hebrews 5:14 makes a very good comment about training. Talking about solid food, Paul says, belongs to mature people, to those who through use have their perceptive powers trained, or their powers of discernment trained to distinguish both right and wrong. Now, just a little example. You watch your children tie their shoelaces? Or the first time, were they successful? First time you watch them tie their shoelaces, because they want to do it. You do it, you've done it for quite a while, and they're anxious to do it themselves. But when the first time they do it, not only does it take forever, but it may not be successful. And they keep trying, keep trying. Eventually, they can tie their shoelaces, and they're so proud. They can tie their shoelaces. How does that tie in with the scripture? It says, who through use have their perceptive powers. They start to perceive how to tie a shoelace. And that's a big undertaking, isn't it? And we're so proud of them. And that's just the start. And they grow up and they do other things. And we commend them, we help them. What a wonderful thing it is. Also, we're teaching them not just mechanical things like that, but to love Jehovah, have an active and a conscience that works. A conscience is so important so that they can develop moral strength. That takes work. And a deep love for God will protect your children. In fact, if the children love God, they will do everything that God requires of them. So we need to teach them that love. And then we also have to adapt to the personality and needs of each child. As I've already mentioned, we know that children can be so different, same parents. One child is this way, one child is that way. I know it in our own family. We had 7 children in our family, and each one was different. And it was quite a challenge for mother in particular. Dad was not a witness. But it was a challenge for mother to understand each child and its needs. And those of you who are parents are fully aware that you wonder, is this our child? This one is like this, and that one is totally opposite. But that's what we have to take into consideration in teaching them so that we help all of them. They have different views, different needs, and we try to accommodate those needs the best way we know how. Each child is unique, and we have to adapt to their personality. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a boy the way he should go. Even when he grows old, he will not depart from it. In the same family, you can have a child that needs to be disciplined regularly because it's always doing things backwards or not the way you want. And then you have another child that does everything you say, never argues, is obedient. I had a brother like that. And I was the other one. That boy, from the time he was born, just obedient, whatever mother, dad said, he just did it. But others would say, why do I have to do that? Or can't we do something else? Or can't somebody else do this? Why is it always me? I'm not describing myself necessarily, but there are children, they're totally different, and it's amazing how when they grow up, they put away their youthful traits and become mature. So then as your children grow, are you putting goals in front of them? We have so much help in the organization for helping our children to reach certain goals. And are we putting them, those goals in front of them and helping them to set them for themselves? Not enforcing a goal on them, but reasoning with them, what would you like to do? We had a meeting today for those who would like to apply for Bethel. And we had, 60 or so young people there. It was wonderful to see that they all have goals. And they just want to do something to advance Jehovah's interests and the kingdom interests. So it's nice, beautiful to see. So your parents have done a good job. Continue to do a good job training your children. And discern the Bible principles behind the rules you set. That helps a lot. And then the time comes when the child is about to make a dedication to Jehovah. Does he understand? Does she understand what it means? And we don't force them, but at the same time, we don't hold them back. Some children, very young, understand exactly what Jehovah wants of them and are ready to dedicate their lives to Jehovah. And other children take a little longer. And parents discern that. So they don't rush them, but they let the child make its own dedication to Jehovah. And this will help them become active and also to remain active members of the Christian congregation. Of course, if as parents we're living in a way that glorifies God, this will bring them true fulfillment. Our children are precious. Do you agree with that? I'm sure you do. That's why you stay up at night sometimes figuring out what to do tomorrow, how are we going to handle this, how are we going to handle that. You love your children. And the love you show is not wasted. We have so many fine young brothers and sisters in the organization, watching them grow up so wholesome, loving Jehovah. We have them at Bethel by the hundreds. We have 550 or so members of the Bethel family, including temporaries there in Georgetown, Ontario. Many of them are young people coming in, taught by parents who love Jehovah, and they make you proud, and they make us proud. And they're happy, just loving their service to Jehovah and work together in peace and unity. We have over 40, last count, about 40 different nationalities in Bethel. And they all get along like one family. Nobody even discusses where they're from so much as far as nationality, because we are Jehovah's people. What is your nationality? One of Jehovah's Witnesses. That's what counts, isn't it? We're one family. So it's nice to see they get along beautifully. And then this raises the question then, takes a lot of time and energy to raise them, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It's hard, but it's worth it. And it's difficult today because, as I mentioned before, satanic propaganda is making it hard. Jehovah's organization loves our young children. And you young ones, And Jehovah wants you, each one of you, to develop a strong relationship with Him, just as your parents want that. So to help your children make the truth their own, the faithful and discreet slave has prepared yet another beautiful 32-page brochure for release at this convention. And as you can see, it's entitled, Teach Your Children. teach your children? Well, it will help your children to learn important lessons from Bible characters. It's based on a series of articles that appeared in the Watchtower starting in 2008. Each of the 14 lessons tells a story of one or more individuals from a Bible account. You will enjoy reading these accounts with your children. Throughout the lessons, you will find questions followed by a dash, as was done in Learn from the Great Teacher. Remember the little dash, so you pause a little bit and discuss things with the child. The dash will remind you to pause and encourage your children to express themselves. Read the accounts directly from the Bible when practical, because it will help your children to love the Word of God, the Bible. Encourage your children to study the illustrations carefully, because this will help them to imagine the Bible events that are being discussed. Each lesson is followed by review questions designed to stimulate meaningful conversation between you and your children. Use this new brochure to make the Bible come alive for your children. Your children are not much different from Samuel, Josiah, David, Rebecca, or Timothy. Help your children to see how they too can be faithful to Jehovah and His kingdom. Now, in recognition of our Creator and His bountiful provisions, make it your aim to bring glory to Him. Whether you are a couple without children or are training young ones to become spiritually mature subjects of God's kingdom. Yes, by all means, teach your children to love Jehovah's kingdom. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Ramsayer, for that heartwarming talk.